Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. And we're going to continue our Sunday morning series on local church fundamentals. Luke, chapter 5. This morning, as we have sung in worship, and our overarching theme this morning is that of evangelism. Concerning evangelism is my topic this morning. And a thought that I want to bring out to you as it concerns evangelism here in Luke chapter number 5. And if you're needing a Bible, you're welcome to use the Bible there in the seat in front of you. That's on page number 490 if you wanted to use one of those. Luke chapter 5, let's look here in verses 1 through 11, and we will get into this idea, this thought this morning. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down a net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they have brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for the great miracles that Christ did here, especially in this text, and how it illustrates what you can do through our lives when we're surrendered to you and seek to tell others about the good news of Christ. Lord, I pray you bless these thoughts this morning. And all these things we ask in Christ's name, amen. I'm using a basketball illustration, so I begin with this thought as it concerns fundamentals. I never will forget the day and the play. I was 15 years old. I had just grown to be 6 foot tall. Now I'm 6'4 now, but I was 6 foot then, and I could dunk. 6 foot tall, I could dunk. I loved to dunk as a teenager. Probably because it just felt good, and I was single. It's just 2 points. Our JV team had our coach had a pretty traditional approach to dunking. I was not allowed to dunk because it was the same point value as a layup or a jump shot. Don't do it in a close game when you could easily make a layup. You're allowed to do it only when we're up 20 points after all in 15. I'm still working on the timing aspect of the dunk. Well, on this day, we were up by 20 points. We had worked hard on a particular fast break play over and over and over in practice, and it was incredible. It was a beautiful play. Just the thing about it was nobody's ever seen it until this point. We perfected the timing, and we practiced it all over. Now, on this day, we're up by 20. It's time to execute the play. I knew it. The rest of the team knew it. That's all because the coach just told us. In that moment, I got real nervous. We had done this in practice when nobody was around, but now there's people in the stands. Okay? This is a game situation. If I miss it, I'm embarrassed. If I'm rejected by the rim, I'm really embarrassed, and I got a hurt hand. Negative thoughts are entering my mind. If I make this, I'm the first person in the history of my school to dunk it on JV. If I miss it, I'm the first person in the history of the school in JV who missed it. It's a win for win, I guess. In that moment, would I choose to launch out into the unknown, risking failure, or would I take myself out of the game and play it safe on the bench? After all, we're up by 20 and there's 2 minutes to go. I could have easily said, Coach, I'm going to sit this one out. By the grace of God, I executed the play perfectly. I dunked it. The crowd went wild. I was still single after the game. I raised the roof. To this day, from my understanding to this day, I'm still the only JV player in the history of that school to dunk it. And it was the first of many more. And over the past few weeks, with that in mind, we have been using the illustration of local church fundamentals. Using this illustration of basketball to talk about fundamentals that we as a local church need to remind ourselves and remember in order to execute the work of the Lord to be effective. In so many churches today, the focus is off. We're off balanced, or we're focused on other things, other busyness than the main things, the main things that make the church healthy. This morning, we're going to examine the fifth local church fundamentals. We began with focused on the gospel. We talked about the gospel, the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. Then we talked about being devoted to the Word of God. We must be students of the Word of God. We must allow the Word of God to live through us and change us. Then we must be abiding in Christ. Without Him, we can do nothing. We spent a couple weeks in John chapter 15, and we talked about last week loving others, because as we abide in Christ, we're loving others. We take all this together. This is all adding now. We're talking about evangelizing the world today. We're talking about concerning evangelism today. And we are commanded by our Lord Jesus, as believers in Him and disciples of Him, to evangelize the world. So with that thought in mind, are we going to launch out in faith? Sometimes there's risk. Sometimes you may embarrass yourself. Or we're going to play it safe. So many churches today play it safe. Let me give you some passage of scriptures in way of introduction. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel," the good news. We talked about that a few weeks ago, to every creature. Acts 1:8, which we're going to look at tonight, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world." As the church, we will follow the same pattern. Preach the gospel. Witness for Christ. Teach others about Him. Baptize and disciple those who believe on Him. As a local church, our focus is the gospel. Our foundation is the Word of God. Our power comes from abiding in Christ. Our passion for souls and loving them. We are to do our part to be a witness to Him in our Jerusalem, which is South Charleston, in our Judea and Samaria, that's West Virginia, and our country, and our world, that the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the idea behind our missions philosophy as a church. We support, if you look on our missions board back there, we have people in town that we support. We have others around the country that we support, and those around the world. Primarily, I'm praying about that 10:40 window, primarily unreached people in this world with the gospel. It saddens me when I walk into many local churches and I look at their missions board, and their support is just community services, community projects, which is good. I'm all for that. But their missions philosophy doesn't go past that. And that's sad. That saddens me. Sending missionaries into the world to preach the gospel. This is evangelism. This is what we as a local church is called of God to do. This is why I believe in missions. This is why 25% of our budget goes to missions. Expand the kingdom. Evangelize. Evangelism comes from the word gospel, good news. The word in Greek is evangelion. This world which the disciples lived. The term gospel or evangelism meant in that world the proclamation of the official birth, victory, coronation of a Roman emperor, because he was worshipped as God or deified as a son of God. But Jesus was the true Son of God. In the scriptures, He came. These disciples had witnessed His life and ministry. They had witnessed His death on the cross, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and they were witnesses of these things. What's the good news? In that day, and today, we think about the good news, Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings, or good news, that publisheth peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says in the Zion, and notice what it says, thy God reigneth. And I emphasize the thy God reigneth. What's the gospel this morning? What's the good news? Hey, God reigns. Is that good news? No matter what's going to happen today, God still reigns. No matter what happens down the road, in our lives, in our week, God's still in control and God reigns. Why does God reign? Because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God. We have a hope and God reigns. He reigns this morning. And that's good news. The question is, will you join Him? Will you do your part every day and make every opportunity He gives you to witness and give this good news to somebody this week? Will you launch out into the waters of the unknown, into the deep? Are you going to play it safe there on the bench? Sure, there may be rejection. Sure, you may risk embarrassment. Sure, there's a risk of being made fun of. Sure, there's fear and uncertainty and nervousness because of those risks. But listen, the risk is even greater if we don't go. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. Says this. This was one of the verses that called me into the ministry. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Good questions there. What a challenge, what a thought. We may not all be preachers, but we can be witnesses of Christ and messengers of the good news to this world who's dying to hear the good news. Remember this morning, souls are at stake. Every Bible-believing Christian must keep in mind that every person that you come in contact with today and this week will either spend eternity in heaven with Christ or in hell apart from Him. The stakes are high this morning. We cannot afford not to go. We can't afford to play it safe. In my introductory illustration, I talked about the call from the coach to execute a play in which I might have risked failure and embarrassment. I'd practiced it but never executed it. There were unknowns. I had in that moment to decide to launch out regardless of what happened and risk it rather than play it safe at shore. In our local church, we know our focus is the gospel. We know to be devoted to the Word of God. We know to abide in Christ. And we know to love others. But we must choose each and every day to get out of our comfort zones as the opportunity presents itself into the unknown and use these things to evangelize rather than play it safe. With this idea in mind, we consider our text this morning, the greatest day of Simon Peter's fishing career. Notice that Simon Peter and his companions, they didn't remain in shallow water. They launched out into the deep, and the Lord blessed. They didn't remain in shallow water. They weren't content with what they could reasonably expect to receive from their own efforts. Against all reason we're going to look at this morning, they obeyed Jesus to do something unusual, something irrational from a human perspective, something that expert fishermen otherwise would not do. They steered their boat toward deep waters, the wrong part of the lake, at the wrong time of day for catching fish. In obedience, in response to their obedience and faith, Jesus pulled off a miracle. Against all odds, the God of lakes, of fish and fishermen, He exercised His divine authority, and they caught a lot of fish that day. A surprise gift for His disciples. Hey, in our lives, how many quote-unquote surprise gifts do we forfeit as a local church by playing it safe, by depending on our own expertise, by seeing only impossibilities in the Lord's commands? Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You cannot do this until you're willing to trust and obey, to launch out into the deep. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, they did not allow the greatest day of their fishing careers to distract them. This day, they determined to follow Jesus anywhere where he led and do anything he said, even it led to deeper water. So as we dissect this narrative this morning, I must ask you this question as it concerns evangelism. Are you launching out into the deep, or are you playing it safe at shore? Are you launching out in the deep, or are you playing it safe at shore? Every one of us will answer this question by our attitude as it concerns evangelism. What then is the proper attitude toward the gospel, toward evangelism, toward abiding in Christ, according to in His Word and loving others? What's the attitude? Well, let's notice from the text this morning four attitudes that we must have in order to be effective fishers of men and women for our Lord Jesus Christ. Four attitudes. Is our attitude selfish, negative, safe, or is it Christ-focused, people-focused, and maybe at times risky? Here, let's look at these four attitudes this morning. Look at verse 4. Four attitudes we must have. Number one, we must have an attitude of preparation. An attitude of preparation. Notice what's going on here in the context, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus had been teaching the Word of God to the multitude in verses 1, 2, and 3. Two fishing boats had rowed to shore and were washing their nets. Their occupants, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Now understand something about the nets. Now, they didn't have fishing poles like we got today. They fished with nets and drag nets. These nets, if they were not washed and stretched out to dry after fishing, they would rot and they would break. So they had to be washed, they had to be stretched, and they're coming in. This is the morning time. Jesus is teaching the multitude. They're coming in after a whole night of fishing. The very fact that they were washing their nets showed that even though they had gone all night and caught nothing, true fishermen don't quit. The imagery would have resonated with Luke's audience. The men washing their nets early in the morning meant they had been fishing all night. They were deep water fishing with drag nets. They labored through the night, no success, and they were exhausted. Yet the multitude, they were pressing Jesus back and back to the lake, to the Sea of Galilee, so much he had to enter into Simon Peter's ship. And he asked Simon, could you thrust me out just a little bit so that I can stay on your ship and teach the multitude? And he did. And I thought about what J. Vernon McGee once said. He said that every pulpit is a fishing boat, a place to give out the Word of God and attempt to catch fish. And after he finishes, he calls Simon Peter. He says this in verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Peter, after he gets done teaching, he was teaching the multitudes. And let me give you a practical illustration, Peter, or Simon at that time. Hey, launch out into the deep. Let's get the guys in here. Let's go. Let's go fishing. Launch out into the deep. The Lord instructs Peter to take these boats out the deep water. The word for deep means deep water, depths. In a practical sense, Jesus asked the men to return to the very place they had labored in vain and caught nothing. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. That means a catch and a haul of fish. He further requests them to let down the nets for a catch. Now, the change goes from singular to plural. It took more than one individual to lower the nets. These deep water nets required more than one boat and a lot of guys. They had servants helping them. So the Lord's request involves this entire group of fishermen. He's telling them, okay, you know that place you were out all night long, you were fishing and you caught nothing? Hey, let's go back there. Sure, Lord. Sounds great. So, Luke focuses on the narrative with Peter, the spokesman for the group. Now think about this. Jesus desires you and I to join him in his work. He calls us and uses our efforts in spite of our weaknesses. Not because He needs us, but He wants to share His victory with us. There's a great comfort in that. The God of all creation wants to use you and me to accomplish His work. He doesn't have to do that. He's God. But it's a great comfort that He knows you individually and wants you to do that. But the initial call for evangelism is not an easy task. God wants to use us. He wants to mature us. He wants to make us strong. He wants to make us courageous. But for that to happen, God begins to make us a little bit uncomfortable. We are challenged to launch out, figuratively speaking, by means of bearing witness, maybe by word of mouth, by moral, financial support, by being a living example. We are challenged each and every day to have our nets prepared for a catch. Even when we're tired, even when we don't feel like it at times, whether it's welcome those who to visit our church or befriending those who need to be befriended, to be faithful to the ministries you're called to, by doing everything with excellence, by striving to get a little bit out of our comfort zones each and every day. Hey, there's a great harvest out there. There's a great catch. And we at Spring Hill Baptist Church must always have our nets prepared, even when it seems sometimes we catch nothing. That's the trick about fishing. All right, I love the fish and I hate the fish. Why? I love the fish when I'm catching stuff and I hate the fish when I'm not catching anything. Right? We can all say that. And when we don't catch anything for a while, we don't want to fish no more. And we have seasons like that when it comes to fishing for men and women, fishing for souls. There's years where we don't catch anything, where we're just being faithful. Then there's years, man, we got a lot of people join the church, a lot of people getting saved, and that's okay. Both are good. And sometimes we got to be faithful. Jesus is telling His disciples, hey, let's go back out there. Oh, man, really? We've been fishing all night. And that leads to number two. Have an attitude, not only of preparation, but have an attitude after you prepare the next for a catch. Have an attitude of obedience. And that right there is obeying in spite of circumstances. Notice the crisis of the response in verse 5. Simon answers, says, we have toiled all night, and we have nothing. Are you serious, Lord? Humanly speaking, this is a very strange command. A carpenter telling an experienced fisherman who does it for a living, let's launch back out into the deep. Basically, if you look at it on surface level, here's a carpenter telling a fisherman how to catch fish. You'll get that later. Jesus was calling Peter to fish at an unlikely place in an unlikely time. Deep water and bright daylight. Hot at the heat of the day. Peter was an experienced fisherman who knew the habits of fish. He knew and he concluded this was not a fool's errand. Fishing in that day was normally done at night. When the fish rose from the depths of the surface to feed, when the sun rose because of the heat, they descended to the depths again. Peter believed it was pointless to return and expect to catch from waters they've already fished. But none of the work was done in shallow water. Jesus could have summoned the fish. And he wanted the men to trust him, even though they saw no reason to obey. But here's the crisis. Our response to God's call to evangelize is always fear and doubt. Maybe it's based upon an experience or a knowledge of a situation. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not facing any evangelistic challenges today, if you're not facing them too big for you, if it's been a while since you felt scared, then there's a real good chance you're not doing anything for the Lord. Let me say it again. If you're not facing any challenges too big for you today, evangelistic challenges, if it's been a while since you have felt scared, there's a good chance you're probably not doing much for the Lord. The key here is Simon's faith in the Word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word will I let down the net. In Simon's mind, faith and doubt, trust and misgiving are battling it out. The fisherman experience of him raises doubt. But you're saying something, Lord. At your word, I'm going to obey. Sometimes we've got to trust Him when it doesn't line up with our experience. That's where the crisis is. That's where faith takes over. At your word, I'll trust you, Lord, and I'll obey you. Lord, now you know we've been out here all night and caught nothing, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to obey you. And the surprise came in verse 6 and 7 when they went out in deep and they let their nets down in obedience. Only then did they see the supernatural working of the Lord. Jesus authenticated himself to them. What a multitude of excuses we can get why the gospel net should be left to others. And these excuses will never convince God to our conscience. Hey, listen, God's got you where He needs you today. You've got a sphere of influence of people that you influence. Take every opportunity that God gives you to talk to them about the Lord. To tell them about Him. Go fishing sometime. Are we tired of making excuses of why we can't? Are we going to allow a few strikeouts to keep us from swinging for the fences? Sometimes the circumstances won't be in our favor and we won't catch much. And it's okay to be frustrated when that happens, because I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times in my ministry where I've been really frustrated. I love to see people come to know Christ. I love to see people baptized. But there's sometimes it doesn't happen and you're doing all you can. And that's fine. But don't allow that to distract you from doing what you're supposed to do and staying faithful at it. The important factor is be faithful and obedience in spite of the circumstances around us. Jesus sometimes rewards faithfulness by breaking our nets and filling our boats. Not one of those fishing veterans ever dreamed of a catch this big. When God's hand is on a ministry, that goes back to abiding in Him and trusting His Word. When God's hand is on a ministry, the results are mind-boggling. How do you do it? What's your formula? What's your secret? Well, we have none. We're just trusting Him and He's blessing. We get a glimpse of it every once in a while and it frightens us to death. What's God doing? We can't get our arms around it. We can't stop the growth. The revival won't seem to settle down. People's lives are getting changed. There's inner healing going on. Here's our problem. We want to try to control things. We want to try to put God in this box and say, okay, God, we're going to do this, 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 and this, and we're expecting you to do this, this, and this. Sometimes He chooses not to work that way. Don't confine God by somebody you can control. When the Holy Spirit of God, every time in my life I've ever seen the Holy Spirit work in a service or work in a revival or something like that, you can't put your arms around it, you can't control it. You just got to allow the Holy Spirit to work in lives. And it's an amazing thing to see. Have an attitude of preparation. Have an attitude of obedience. Number three, third attitude, have an attitude of humility. And this here is acknowledge I can't do it on my own. Verse 8, Peter sees it and he falls down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." It's interesting that 7 of the 12 were fishermen. Fishermen generally have qualities that make for success in serving the Lord, because it takes courage and daring, patience and determination to work on the seas, and it also takes a great deal of faith. Fishermen must be willing to work together. They used nets, not hooks in that day. They had to work together and help one another. They had to develop the skills necessary to get the job done quickly and efficiently. But notice Peter's confession. He asked Jesus, "Depart from me." That's a sincere and humble expression of his recognition of his own worthiness in the presence of God. This goes back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Peter's, in effect, going back, drawing back on Isaiah's imagery. When those fish were caught, and he sees the Lord, and Jesus authenticates himself to Peter and James and John and Andrew that he is the Son of God, he comes and says, "I have seen the Lord. I'm an experienced fisherman, and I've never caught this much fish in this time of day. You are God. Woe is me. Get away from me. I'm undone. I've seen the Lord." A humble acknowledgement. The object lesson brings Peter to his knees. He observed the presence of God that morning. He falls on his knees in worship to the feet of Jesus and he begs for mercy. And because he understands the consequence of a sinful man in the presence of God. "Forgive me, Lord, of my sin." sinfulness cannot survive in the presence of holiness. Because he understood himself to be a man tainted with sin, he feared the Lord. And he addressed Jesus as Lord. That's a messianic title. He is saying, if you could perform this miracle, then you are God. You are the Creator. When one is confronted with Jesus, it's impossible to remain neutral. His enemies react to his miracles with hatred. His true disciples with homage and reverence. They worship him for who he is. Do you worship him? Peter was willing to submit to his authority even when he didn't understand what Christ was trying to do. And in Peter's confession there, he realized that even experienced fishermen, they can't do it alone. They need help. This requires that we swallow our pride and learn to lean on each other and work together to see souls saved. Jesus performed the miracle. Not for the sake of people on the shore, but Simon and his partners. Hey, when a soul was saved, it's not us who wins that soul. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that wins that soul through His Holy Spirit. And He just uses us to accomplish that task. That's humbling. We can't do it alone. This object lesson taught these men that good intentions and earnest effort are not enough, that only the Lord can make it happen. We must humbly depend on Him for that. Number four, have an attitude of preparation, have an attitude of obedience, have an attitude of humility, and have an attitude of abandonment. Notice verse 10 and verse 11. That's forsaking all and follow Him. When Jesus comments to answer Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. We see here the confidence of a changed life. Every time you say yes to God, when God's working in your heart, and you, every time you say yes to Him, you change and you're molded more in His image. Every time you say no to God, your heart gets a little harder. Your spirit dies a little more. Your addiction to comfort gets a little stronger. So I'm here to tell you, whether you say yes or no to God, you will change, either for positive or for the negative. Fear not. Jesus puts Simon's mind to rest. He gives a word of comfort. You don't have to be afraid to stand in my presence, because I've come here to save you. And I'm here to teach you how to fish for men. Wow. Think about that for a second. God of all creation was in the form of the Son of God, talking to Peter, James, John, Andrew, and He tells them, fear not. You're going to catch men, and I'm going to help you catch men, and I'm going to teach you. Wow. That shows you God's interested in you and I. And as they tremble before their Messiah, these words change their lives. That word catch, thou shalt catch men, capture alive, that's what the word means. Paul uses the expression too in 2 Timothy 2. By contrast, Jesus promises Simon and the others, they're going to capture people to do the will of the Father. This is a critical moment. This is a turning point. Where they continue to launch out, forsake all and follow, where they're going to play it safe. There's a turning point there. And we see in verse 11, they dropped their nets, they left everything behind, and they followed Him. They left everything. Their agendas, their wills, to follow Him and see Him work in their lives. They understood the principle. With me you can do all things, without me you can do nothing. In order to catch men and catch women for Christ, we got to stay close to Christ. Life's too short to live for ourselves and our selfish motives and objectives. We were made and called for something greater. Life is too short to play it safe in the shallow waters all the time. And this life, this Christian life, is an adventurous partnership with the Lord. Understand, we follow Him. It's not going to be easy. God never calls us to do an easy task, but when we do it, He equips us. And we look back and we say, man, what the Lord has done in our lives. I understand something this morning. I read this in a book once. When proof is possible, faith is impossible. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. When we abandon it all for the sake of the call, we are at that moment learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And our security is in the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him step by step, day by day. Hey, have an attitude of preparation. Have an attitude of obedience. Have an attitude of humility. Have an attitude of abandonment. Let me get to our conclusion, our application this morning. Thrusting out at shore, listening to the Word of God is the first step and a very valuable step. But sooner or later, you've got to get off the bench. You've got to get out of that comfort zone. and execute a play and go that extra mile for Christ as it concerns evangelism. The fish is found in the deep. It's in over our heads. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of the greatest times the Lord has used me in my life has been when I was over my head. There are times I've been in over my head. I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord, you're going to take over because I'm not knowing what I'm doing here. Same thing's true for you. It's not in shallow water where it's safe. It's in deep water where it's risky, unknown. So here's the question. Here's the question. Here's the application. Your attitude concerning the plan of God will determine your actions for evangelism for God. That's our application. The answer is the question, are you launching out or are you playing it safe? Well, your attitude concerning the plan of God will determine your actions in evangelism for God. What should your attitude be? Well, preparation, obedience, humility, abandonment. And what's the plan of God? To redeem the world unto Himself, to share the good news of Christ with every creature. So what should our actions be? Go, preach, teach, baptize, witness, action words. The Bible doesn't say, stop, sit down, watch TV, enjoy life, which we need to do those things. I agree, there's a balance there. But He wants us to go. He wants us to teach. He wants us to preach. He wants us to baptize. He wants us to witness. Our attitude toward the Lord and His plan and others will determine these actions in your life. Let us be challenged this morning to be more committed fishermen, launching out into the unknown, in the deep rather than playing it safe. We need to go tell others about our church, about our Christ, how He changed our lives. I got a rack out in the front called a track rack. I've got several different tracks about different situations in life. It's good just to get a few of those things, put them in your pocket, keep them in your car sometime, and when you come across somebody maybe dealing with an issue or something, that might be maybe a little opening door, kind of break the ice to introduce them to Christ. We need to be conscious about that. We got cards out in the front. And be conscious of inviting people to church where they can hear Christ. Consider Christ this morning. The reason Jesus wanted to catch men in His gospel net and wanted the disciples to follow His example, this was a very important part of the task His Father assigned to Him. In order to accomplish that, He had to come to earth. He had to go to a cross. He had to die for the sins of mankind, was buried, rose again to give us that hope. That's the good news. And He knew there would be cost, especially the death on the cross. And in like manner, we need to be crucified with Christ, dead to self. I close, and I'm done. A key component of growing a church, is telling others about Him and what He has done in our lives. We have to invite others to taste and see the Lord is good and live like it. Don't do that if you're not living it. So are we content in shallow waters hearing the Word of God? Are we going into the deep to exercise our faith and tell others about the Word of God? The Lord blesses us when we take that step of faith and launch out in the deep. Will you launch out in the unknown this morning? It's going to be scary. Maybe risky. You'll be over your head. But it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all someday when we get to heaven. And we see all those that came to Christ through our influence. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.